The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
On a blue Friday in the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our Colts bunker. That's why it's a blue Friday.
That's right. I almost made the faux pas, committed the faux pas of going to work today wearing my red Chicago Bulls
sweatshirt. I know. It's a good thing we turned on the news this morning,
yes,
and they talked about a blue Friday for everybody.
Yes.
And Derek had to run upstairs and take off his Bulls.
Yes, the Bulls.
The Bulls.
Well, we changed that and fixed that very quickly.
You went from red to blue.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say you're more, more in the red category, more of a Republican with the Bulls.
Well, that's true, but here in Indiana, you do as the Hoosiers do.
And they
so, today, January 7th, 2011, tomorrow, the Jets and the in town to play the Indianapolis Colts in first round of the NFL playoffs. So, and today, just kind of a human interest story. If you're in the United States, and maybe around the world, you've been following the story of a gentleman from Columbus, Ohio.
Ted
which
Williams.
Isn't very far east of here.
Not the baseball player.
Not the baseball player. No, but a fellow who was spotted by a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch newspaper standing and panhandling at a street corner with a little sign that said, "I have the God-given gift of voice." And when the reporter rolled down his window and asked him to demonstrate, out came the most resonant voice. I mean, you think NFL films, you think network quality announcer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a voice that clearly is a gift from God. And this gentleman had fallen on hard times. He'd been living on the streets for about the last 10 years, finally cleaned up. He said he's been away from drugs and alcohol for the last couple of years and was giving thanks to the Lord for it. And today we just watched a report on CNN just a few minutes ago, which is why we're a little late getting the show recorded tonight, because Wolf Blitzer teased the story for 45 minutes.
We kept waiting and waiting.
Right. He was on the Today Show yesterday morning, but today they reported on a reunion with his 92-year-old mother, whom he had not seen in 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. What a tearjerker reunion.
Yes.
And he was once again thanking God,
mm-hmm,
and saying to his mother that he had prayed, and that's why he was able to come back and see her. And she said, "My prodigal son has returned."
Yeah. So quite a story, and it kind of hits close to home for me because, as you know, I spent a number of years, about 13, 14 years in between the two segments of my radio broadcasting career, and I've known a lot of guys in that business, and it is a career choice, especially those that get into top 40 radio.
Mm-hmm.
It is a career choice that draws people who are more than likely to have some self-destructive tendencies. And, clearly in Mr. Williams' case, that played out in a really bad way. He hit bottom. But I've known
Yeah, and
guys.
You and I have talked about this before.
Right.
I mean, the fact is that you were doing top 40 radio, and
right. There
were lots of groupies. You
yeah.
were a handsome, you're handsome now, you're a handsome young man, and had a great voice, and were, let's face it, there is a sex appeal factor with you.
It's so funny hearing you say that.
No, there is. There really is. And I know that, honestly, you can have a great voice over the radio and people can fall in love, a woman can fall in love with you, just your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sometimes the face is not always, doesn't always go with the voice. But the fact is that you are a handsome man now, but you were, a very handsome young man back then, and I'm sure that you had groupies galore, and the fact that you had access to all sorts of, hey buddy, if you'll take, I'll help you out with this, if you'll play these,
mm-hmm.
I know that graft isn't supposed to happen anymore,
but it
does.
No, payola does play a big part of the radio industry. So yeah, I'm thankful to be away from that, and thankful that that experience is being put to good use now. And you're a natural talent because you didn't have that whole experience, and yet you gravitate toward the microphone like someone who's been doing it your whole life.
It's because I love you, but, honey. You sort of give me the vibes over here. By the way, Paola, in this house, you know.
Donuts.
Yeah. Donuts!
Donuts.
Ah!
Krispy Kreme.
You better believe
it. Anyways, we're just very thankful that Ted Williams has found his way home. Literally today in 2011.
Oh, that is so
true. And
that
he's giving credit where it belongs to the Lord.
Home to the Lord. That is so true. And that, you know, speaking of that, the prodigal son, we all know, if you know the story of the prodigal son, then you know that he left home. He told his father, don't give me, you know, the inheritance later after you die. Give it to me now because I want to go out while I'm young and I want to spend. And so his father said, okay, here it is. The young son went out and he spent it all and ended up sleeping with the pigs.
That's right.
Well, that brings us to the pigs.
This is a
the pigs
story.
Of South Korea. This is a really disturbing story. If it's true, it's very, very disturbing. The story goes that hoof and mouth disease is rampant over there. It's really hitting a lot of countries right now. And in order to battle it, you have to call the herds. You have to just kill any herd that may have been exposed. You can't take the chance that they're going to infect other herds in the area. You can't eat the meat.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just kill them.
That's right. It's very contagious.
But if you kill them, it takes time and money.
Yeah. Yeah, and effort. I mean, it really does take a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do.
We're talking about a million pigs.
Oh. It is really a bad well, I mean, people in the UK remember when they had the outbreak of foot and mouth, hoof and mouth.
With the cattle.
And sheep. Was it cattle? Yes.
Any cloven hoofed.
Piles of smoking carcasses where they did kill them and burn them in the UK. But Korea is... adopting a more streamlined approach.
That very, very quickly, sadly, if the story is true, they are burying these pigs alive.
Yeah. This is according to Sky News, which is a division of Rupert Murdoch's empire. Mm-hmm. So presumably the story has been vetted. The government there being criticized for burying these pigs alive, up to a million pigs. Now they're refusing to vaccinate the pigs.
Which would help.
Which would help. But short of that, the only other option And the only other option for controlling the disease is to just eliminate them. And by eliminate, you mean kill and destroy. And so they're just burying them under piles of dirt. And to save time and money, they're just dumping them in these giant pits. And there's a picture at the I'll link to it in the show notes, and you'll see it if you choose to click on it, that – they're digging out a huge pit with a steam shovel, basically, and
it does look like the pigs are
just been dumped
in
there.
Are moving,
right? Yeah,
as they're coming off that dump truck,
backing the trucks up to it.
There are
really
things going on with the flora and fauna of the world that just really do bring to mind the end of days, with birds falling from the sky, dead fish washing up on shores. Chickens appearing on beaches in Hong Kong with H5N1 and hoof and mouth disease rampant throughout Southeast Asia.
I didn't know the chickens were aquatic. Well, I say that kind of
we talked about that the other day, and they're not. How'd that chicken get there?
Well, a couple of years back, we had the opportunity to, on my radio program in Colombia, interviewed a woman named Kate Iola, which is the pen name of Katie Thompson, who's been writing about food security for quite some time. And she wrote a novel, very entertaining novel, very well written, but contained some very disturbing truths. The novel was called Dead Stock, a play on the word livestock, of course.
It's a brilliant title.
And she points out how easy it would be to use hoof and mouth to destroy the ag economy in the United States or any nation where the cattle are free of hoof and mouth. Simply, you just take some infected dung and drop it into a feedlot. And it occurred to me, and by the way, that was where, you know, the whole thing about the, you know, piles of smoking carcasses, you know, the image came to mind because that was part of the book. But you could do the same thing, presumably, with an infected chicken, a chicken infected with H5N1.
Just throw it on the beach.
Throw it on the beach. Or, well, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can spread it to other fowl in the area, other possibly even other people. There are forms of H5N1 that have infected people in Southeast Asia. In Hong Kong, there is a law that you cannot have domestic fowl if you live in the city. And apparently this beach is close enough to a town that authorities are baffled as to where it came from.
Yeah. So it could be that it was a farmer who discovered he had some sick chickens and just decided to get as far away from his farm as possible. But you don't know. But the thought that occurred to me was, again, from the plot of the book, you take something like this that is relatively easy to conceal and drop it someplace where you want it to spread, and suddenly you've got your outbreak. It's really
And I thought about that when we were talking about the birds dropping from the sky. One of the first things I thought about was H5N1, and I thought, my goodness, is it possible that someone has just dropped these birds, infected birds, from a plane or something? Really don't know what's going on with that. I assume that one of the first tests that will be run at the CDC or wherever is that they're going to check and make sure that these birds that are dropping from the air are not infected with H5N1.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody in a small plane sprayed something and just happened to spray over the top of a flock.
Well, it's in various parts of the world because Italy has had turtle doves that just dropped from the sky. Hundreds of dead birds have dropped from the sky in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And as I said, in Italy, it was thousands of turtle doves. Everybody, if you look on the internet, just about every outfit, legitimate news, non-mainstream news, any news, PID news.
That's right.
We're always on top of things. We're all taking a look at it. We're all trying to figure out what's dropped from the sky. And did you know that in V's, a photograph of an upcoming episode of V's, one of our listeners sent me this. It may have been Chris Putnam, who's been corresponding to me about this, is a photograph of Anna standing in the middle of a circle with two dead humans and two dead birds.
Hmm. Interesting.
Also, Dean Jones, our UK fan, our one fan, he not only complimented us and thanked us for the
Professor Yana.
Exactly.
Yes, thank you, Dean.
Yep, you bet. Hi, Dean. He also reminded us about the Flash Forward episode.
Yes, because not only were humans falling asleep in the television show Flash Forward, where everybody fell asleep for, 3 minutes and 17 seconds or some odd number like that, but birds were falling from the skies as well. Interesting point. What if somebody's testing a device like that?
I don't know.
Again, speculation.
We don't know what it is. It could be anything, but it also could be, and this is what I have told people who've asked me on the internet about it. What I do believe about it is that someone, whether that person is that entity is human or non-human, is trying to get our attention.
I think that's
trying to make a point.
Yeah, I think that's a very good observation. So we keep looking and keep just remain watchful and vigilant, and just keep looking to the Word for guidance on these sorts of things.
Amen.
There's that going on. There was a story you wanted to talk about yesterday, and I got to blathering about other stuff and basically sucked
you
up all the oxygen. Yeah, surprise. And before we run out of time tonight, I want to talk about this. This was the story you mentioned at the end of the hour yesterday, how your phone might be spying on you without your knowledge.
It's the application for a patent.
Yeah. I mean, as it is, your phone already can be used to spy on you if certain agencies want to do so. If you've got a smartphone, it more than likely has a GPS positioning device on it so that you know where you are, so that it can find local restaurants for you. It can plot your fastest route to your destination and things like that. But it also, when it pings, it reports back to the phone company. And the phone companies, as I talked about at the conference in Canton, Ohio, are more than likely giving that information to any government agency that asks. In fact, it was revealed about a year ago at a security conference by the telecoms that Sprint and presumably and possibly other major telecoms have an automated system that they've developed to process requests for location information from law enforcement, because there are so many, I mean, millions of requests coming from law enforcement every year as to where your cell phone is or this. And they just got tired of having humans answer it because it costs time and money. And so they just set up this electronic computerized system that the NSA, the FBI, your local law enforcement can go to and find out where your phone is at any given time, without having to get a warrant from a judge. So
is it Hal?
It might be Hal, for that matter. Yeah, I wouldn't do that, Dave.
You know, Hal's name is very close to hell. You ever notice that?
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that red glowy thing is kind of evil, too.
Yeah, the one eye.
So, anyway, there are other things. There are apps for most smartphones that can be downloaded into your phone without your knowledge so that they can activate the microphone even when your phone is powered off and listen in. But that's just the start of it. Sharon found this patent application dated August 19th of 2010.
It is a patent applied for and called Systems and Methods for Identifying Unauthorized Users of an Electronic Device. Imagine your phone being able to do the following. The electronic device of Claim 11 further compromising a microphone operable to record the voice of the current user, and wherein the processor is further operable to compare the recorded voice with voice prints of authorized user of the electronic device, and determine that the recorded voice does not match the voice print of any authorized user of the electronic device. Number 13. The electronic device of Claim 11 further compromising a heartbeat sensor.
Oh, comprising.
Comprising. Sorry.
That word was confusing me. Sorry.
Sorry. Further comprising. Did I not say comprising? What did I say?
Compromising.
I did, didn't I? I clearly need some Krispy Kreme donuts, and there's no mention of Krispy Kremes in here.
So it was tough reading.
It was. The electronic device claim device of Claim 11 further comprising a heartbeat sensor operable to detect the heartbeat of the current user, and wherein the processor is further operable to compare the detected heartbeat with heart signatures of each authorized user of the electronic device.
Now we're getting into creepy
and
zone.
Determine that detected the heartbeat does not match the heart signature of any authorized user of the electronic device. It goes on and on. This is a device, think about your phone or your iPod, that not only records your voice, takes pictures of where you are, mm-hmm. takes pictures of who you are, and compares your heartbeat mm-hmm. to that of registered users.
Mm-hmm. Your voice print. The thing further down, you mentioned the camera, which is mm-hmm. really creepy under points 14 and 15 here, where it would take pictures of your surroundings, match it up with GPS data,
mm-hmm.
and then compare that against other pictures that have been taken to determine whether it's being used in a familiar location.
Item 16, the electronic device of Claim 11 further comprising an accelerometer operable to record a vibration profile of the electronic device, and a signal processor operable to compare the recorded vibration profile with a library of vibration profiles to determine a current mode of transportation of the electronic device.
Hey, this guy never rides motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Hey, it must be stolen. This is really interesting. But not just that, just for tracking purposes. Just imagine if somebody – this is like having a LoJack device on in your cell phone case. You know, LoJack is a device that mm-hmm. You know, can track mm-hmm. can basically beam a signal to a car mm-hmm. to police when it's stolen, when the car is stolen. This not only sends a signal out, but it's tracking your heartbeat, your heart rate, taking pictures and recording sound while you're walking about.
Item 18, the system of Claim 17, wherein the camera is operable to take a plurality of photographs of the surroundings of the electronic device, and wherein the processor is further operable to analyze each of the plurality of photographs to identify distinguishing landmarks in the photographs and determine the location of each photograph based on the identified distinguishing landmarks. Item 19, the system of Claim 17 wherein the alert notification is transmitted via one of text message, facsimile, VOIP application, instant messaging application, online profile application, online blog application, and a cloud server.
So the alert gets broadcast to everybody via the interwebs.
Mm-hmm. And it's scanning the interweb for your Facebook account. It's scanning to see not only are you one of the registered users, but who are you?
Hmm. This really is creepy because, you know, it sounds like a good, secure system for somebody who's got a lot of business information on a phone, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you use your phone in a sales capacity and you're out there and making contacts with a lot of customers and perhaps storing sensitive documents on your phone, which a lot of people in the business world do now, this might be a benefit. I want to know if some authorized user has my phone and is taking it somewhere. I want to be able to recover it because the information on that phone is valuable to me.
Well, sure you do, but you don't want your phone constantly spying on
but
you.
But that's the other thing.
Here's an example.
That's the back.
Let's
flip side.
Say someone robs the local bank,
mm-hmm.
and that person has dark hair, wears glasses, and has on a Colts sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the description.
Oh, that's me.
All the phones in the area are instructed
to
photograph their users.
Yes.
Determine the surroundings. Hey, we found five guys that meet that, you know, the description in the vicinity of the bank. Because we live just around the suddenly, someone knocks on our door.
Yeah. Your phone has just identified you as a person of interest in a criminal investigation. This is like the movie Eagle Eye taken to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eagle Eye, if you've seen the film, you know that the center of the movie is this device called ARIA, which is a total surveillance and information processing system tasked with protecting the United States of America. And it was using CCTV cameras everywhere and all sorts of other things. But imagine if it had access to all of those cell phones and phone cameras.
And it isn't just
cameras.
Cell phones. And imagine it being your computer, your laptop.
Sure.
You're sitting there working and it's photographing the stuff behind you.
Yeah. Right here in this room, we've got at least three webcams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three webcams right now that I can think of and one that's not hooked up.
And it starts to, as with the school...
Right, out in Pennsylvania.
Spy on you at home.
That's right. Well, this is a genuine patent application that, according to patentvest.com, was submitted by Apple Incorporated, apparently for the next, possibly, for a future generation of electronic device, an iPhone perhaps, an iPod, something with a camera, obviously. Again, filed August 19th, 2010. And what we're speculating here really is not that far beyond what is already capable, already possible with the cell phones and electronic devices that we have now. We know that the FBI, law enforcement, has the capability to listen in on cell phone conversation. I mean, you heard the little noise when I shut my phone down earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It could still be broadcasting
this
conversation.
Exactly.
In real time.
Even though you've turned it off.
Even though I've turned it off. The only way to stop an app like that is to take out the battery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why in the God Conspiracy, which was, you know, several years ago now, one of the first things I had Barney Eisen, the internet conspiracy radio host, do is they were trying to elude those
throw the phone out the window.
Was take the FBI agent's cell phone and throw it out the window because they didn't want to be tracked. But had I wrote that now, I probably would have gone even farther to try to cover tracks because the technology, even in the last 3-4 years, has gone that much farther.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be that you could do it with disposable phones, but I suspect that they are now building things into those disposable phones that will take a picture of the user and figure out who triggered that bomb.
What was the... oh, gosh, what was that network of the Iridium network of satellite phones that Motorola put up there? Iridium.
Yeah.
And Motorola almost went broke because of this.
Mm-hmm. And, but they were supposedly analog in a digital world.
Right.
And the military bought them.
And the military bought them. And that may be why. I'm not techie enough to understand why.
You and I said, well, they couldn't have bought them for nothing. They have to figure out, they have to know that there's some use.
Some use coming for them, right. And it could be that there's some capability that these phones have that maybe they're hardened against some sort of attack that might take out a digital communication stream. So I don't know. Just a thought that just occurred to me randomly. We probably have listeners who are tech savvy enough to know why that.
Oh, happened. I'm sure we do.
So anyway, well, that was. Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned it yesterday, and I'm glad we got to bring that up this week, because that is kind of a significant story. Because it you know, in the scheme of things, it just adds one more tool in the box for the globalists who want to keep us under constant surveillance as they try to build that one world government.
That is so true.
Yeah.
You know, this is a left turn of sorts. I've spoken about documentaries that I've watched online or on Netflix, and there are two that I want to mention. One I watched yesterday, it is really good. It's a couple of guys just out of college who decide that they are going to figure out what the thing, you know, they love to eat cheeseburgers and things like that, and they decide to see if they're going to die because, you know, diabetes and high blood pressure and all these things run in their families. So they get their hair analyzed. Well, Lisa, this is the setup. I assume that really isn't how it went, but that's the setup for the movie, for the documentary. And it turns out that they are essentially 80% corn. It's called King Corn, and it follows these two guys as they rent 1 acre of ground in Iowa and raise their own corn, determine what happens to the corn, what a farmer makes on an acre of corn, how the whole process works, how the government subsidizes parts of it, how they sell it, where it goes, who processes it, how fructose is made. I mean, they go into a whole, it's a wonderful journey. You will love it. Watch King Corn if you have Netflix. Otherwise, you'll need to figure out another way to get it. But also today I watched, Counting Down to Zero, and it's all about the nuclear proliferation problem that we have. And of course, START is a 2 or 3 that Obama just signed, and the Russians are sort of
hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
Not quite sure.
Well, you know, we're going to wait till after Christmas, which was, I think, either today or yesterday. And Putin attended a church
for
wearing
the Russian
a sweater.
Orthodox, for the yes. Russian Orthodox Church.
He
yeah.
wore a sweater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway, we'll get into that tomorrow. We'll talk about Putin tomorrow. But Counting Down to Zero. Monday.
Yeah.
That's right. Today's Friday. Oh, that's right. Before we wrap up, we need to talk about your show.
Say,
let me just finish this.
Go ahead.
King Corn, the other one is Counting Down to Zero. But what I found interesting about Counting Down to Zero is that they managed to play both sides of the fence. On the one hand, they are bleeding heart liberals. On the other hand, they managed to blame Iran and Pakistan for everything.
Which is kind of what you have to do if you're a progressive today, because
well,
know,
I guess so. Maybe they're just bleeding heart progressives.
Yeah, I mean, because otherwise you have to explain why President Obama is still a progressive if he's going after Pakistan. I mean, more,
precisely.
Yeah,
but I'm tying that in actually to a story that we didn't talk about. It came out a few days ago that the Shah of Iran's son committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself, is there some reason why they don't want the heir to the throne alive?
Yeah. If you assume that there's more to the story than is being reported, which is that it was that he took his own life, is there a possibility? Well, you've just asked the simple question, who benefits?
Who benefits?
Who benefits?
Kobe.
And that may open up some other answers. Well, I did watch a documentary yesterday as well.
A documentary?
Yes, a documentary, or at least a non.
Was it compromising or comprising?
It was compromising.
It was surprising.
Yes. called The Watchers. It's the new DVD release from L.A. Marzulli.
Oh, wonderful. Now,
yes.
That's the one to watch.
Yes. And we will discuss that tonight on A View from the Bunker in the first hour, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, GMT-5. In the second hour, we spend an hour talking about the two things you're never supposed to discuss in polite company, politics and religion. C.J. Hampton of the Sword of the Spirit Internet Talk program is putting together a conference April 1st and 2nd in Fort Wayne, Indiana, called The Politics of Religion.
And you will be there.
Yes. And, well, we pray that you will as well. We just need to find a way to, you know, smuggle Sam in undercover.
Sam T. Dachson
yeah.
in there.
But a great lineup of guests, including documentary filmmaker Chris Pinto, Dr. Future and Tom Bionic, Chris White, and Andrew Hoffman will be there. And so all of that coming up tonight with C.J. Hampton in the second hour. View from the Bunker, blogtalkradio.com/PID Radio. Your
well, there's the
ringing,
bell.
So
it must be time
then,
to go.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
The Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.